Listen along or read along, either way is fine. Romans 7. And today I'm going to be talking about denying self.
Amen.
And this will be a little bit tough message. Tonight's message is going to be a very comforting one, I believe. But this morning's message, I think it'd be a little bit rough, but I think you can handle it. Maybe some things that'll maybe let you see things a little differently than I think most of the time we see and understand what God's really trying to do with our lives. And I think we don't see this very well by denying self. Romans 7, I'm going to start at verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might be made exceedingly sinful. Few things this passage teaches, and we'll get to a little bit later in a sec here. First thing it teaches is the law is good, but it is not good for getting you to heaven. As a matter of fact, it very explicitly says in this chapter and other chapters, for by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. And it says it is not, but and so it actually says that the law slays me. It kills me. The law kills me, it says. And it says, well, is the law bad? It says, no. It says, the law is good because it kills me, and it makes sin appear exceedingly sinful. And that's a good thing. Because what it does is it makes you see how God feels about things. In the Old Testament, when you read about the Old Testament, God is very rough. Commit adultery and get caught, they kill you. That's the law. And many other harsh things. But what God is doing, God is saying, I don't feel about sin and unrighteousness the way you feel about it. I feel much more deeply. And I want you to see how I feel about it, because then you'll understand that with your sin, you cannot go to heaven. And that's a good thing for you to understand that. With your sin, you can't get to heaven. The law makes you lost. In other words, I read the 613 commandments in the Old Testament, and I say, I can't do that. And God says, exactly. You need a Savior. It'll never save you. The law will never save you, but it says here that sin might appear, that by the commandment, it might become exceedingly sinful. And so the law is good because it makes you, it's kind of like all of a sudden I have this pain in my head, and you say, I hate pain. But then you go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh, you have a tumor, but it's very operable. Good thing you felt that, or you would have died. The commandment of the Bible, the Old Testament, the law, does one thing. It makes you say, I have sinned. And God says, okay, that's done. That's all you needed from it. Now, you need a Savior. Anybody who thinks that keeping the law is going to save them, it doesn't know the Bible at all. For the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. It does one thing. It makes you realize your condition, which is lost. And that makes you say, boy, I can't save myself. I can't keep the law. I'm a sinner. What can I do to get rid of my sin? I can't do it myself. And God says, exactly, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus died for your sins to save you. And so if you believe you're going to be good enough to get to heaven, you haven't understood God's commandment yet. Because I can't be good enough to get to heaven. I've sinned. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Just one. One sin will keep you out of a perfect heaven. And God says, I wrote an entire law to show you how that's true, that I do not like sin, and I will not let it in my presence. Therefore, you've got to have all your sin taken away. Amen. And the law is good because it kills us spiritually. It says, you are guilty. And then you say, okay, I am guilty, therefore I cannot earn my way to heaven by going to church, being a good person, living a good life, keeping the commandments. I need a Savior. Jesus died for my sins because I can't live it good enough. So then you turn to Jesus and ask him to save you. And it's an amazing thing that any church would still today, with the Bible so clear on this, say, well, but you got to keep the commandments. When God, the whole New Testament, says you can't keep the commandments. And it says you can never be good enough for God to accept you. That's why Jesus died, because you fall short. And it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. You're not saved by your works. Your works just show you can't keep the law. Now you're saved through Jesus Christ. You trust him completely, and then you're saved. Then you do the good commandments, not to be saved, but because you love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. It's very clear in the Bible, if people just read, especially Romans. So going back to Romans 7:13, Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, and I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I allow not, read that again. This is a hard passage to read, by the way. He's going to say, the things I wish I would do, I don't do, and the things I wish I wouldn't do, I do. It seems like I want to do the wrong things, and I don't by nature do the things that I want to do, which are good. My desire is good. My actions seem to always want me to do bad. That's what it's going to say, and I'm going to read that, and I'll probably get a tongue twister or two here. For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. You ever feel like that? Man, the thing I hate, I do. And I don't want to do this. Why do I do what I don't want to do? Now it is no more I, or verse 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. I realize the law says I'm a fallen creature, and I acknowledge, yep, you're right, I'm unworthy. For I know that in me, that is in my, verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, the desire to do right, is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that, when I would do evil, when I would do good, evil is present with me. This is when I want to do good, I realize there's an evil with me all the time. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. In my body is this sinful thing. We call it the fallen nature, or the depravity of man. I have in me this fallen nature that makes me want to do wrong things. Even though I, in my heart, want to do the right thing, I want to bless that person who cuts me off on the highway, but my flesh says I can't do it. I want to be nice to my enemy, but my flesh wants to go key their car. And that is what we are wired. We are wired with the Holy Spirit inside of us saying, I'm going to do the right thing. I don't want to lose my temper and scream and yell at them. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, man, I better not say it. And then you say it. Because the thing you don't want to do, you do many times because there's something evil inside of you. And it isn't just the devil and demons. It's your very nature. I got a beautiful little baby girl who's a day old. And I guarantee you, by the time she's two, I will not have to teach her to be selfish. If she sees a toy she likes, and her other sister sees the toys, and they both grab a toy, she will not say, you know what? God wants you to have that. Go ahead. That is not what she'll do. She'll go, mine! You know, you ever teach your kids? Now, kids, I'm going to teach you how to say mine. And when they're about 40, you ever say, I'm going to teach you how to steal the cookies out of the cookie jar. And I'm going to teach you how to lie to me after you do it. It is a standard option on every vehicle of the human race. It comes with all of them. Every human has a depraved nature. You and every human has a depraved nature that does and it wants to do bad things. You don't by nature love your enemy. You don't by nature think of others. It's built in. And the Bible says that's in us. And it's a war, verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. We'll talk about denying self. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, you do a great work in this service, and I pray that we'd hear from you. Father, we got to know how to deny ourselves, and it's pretty tough to do because we're self-centered creatures, Lord. So I ask in Jesus' name you'd help me to have wisdom and how to present this, and you'd speak to us through your Word in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things in this passage, we kind of touched on them a little bit. The law shows us a need for Christ. And the Bible says, the law in Galatians 2:24 is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So the law is going to be a teacher and says, you need Jesus. That's the purpose of the law. It's not to save you. And for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I think it's Galatians 2:16. And then Galatians 2:24, the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Number two, I have this desire in me to do right. There are a few people out there, Romans 1 talks about them, that God gave them up to vileness. There are a few people you'll meet, you'll see them on the news. They're very rare, but they are people who have no desire to do right. They are people that God gave them over to evil. They chose a bunch of bad choices. There's a process in Romans 1, but I'm not teaching that today, but there are people who have no desire to do right. If they can hurt you or do good things to you, they will always hurt you. If they can rob or they can work, they will always rob. They're very rare people. You hear about them on the news. You see the terrible things they do. You look in their eyes and you say, something's wrong with that person. And those are very rare people. Most people have a desire to do right, basically. And some people, saved people, have more of a desire because they have the Holy Spirit inside of them, convicting them and touching their heart. That desire is with us. The Bible says that God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives us a will to do it. I had a little bit of desire to do right things before I was saved. When I got saved, I got a much stronger desire. I got a hunger for the Bible and a hunger to do things that I never even thought of before, like love my enemies and prayer and doing different things that I'd never really had a desire for before I was saved. We have a desire to do right in us. And that says that in a couple of verses, verse 15. It says, for that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, I do not, but that which I hate, I do. And then verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We have a desire to do right. Number three, we have another desire, and that desire is to do wrong. Verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, I don't want to say to you that there are certain things you wouldn't do. Because your upbringing, or because of certain decisions you've made, and different circumstances in your life, or maybe the culture you're brought up in, there are certain things you have no desire to do, or you would not do. Some of you would never hurt a child, for example. It's just not in you. Others, you might not want to, but you could do it. It's in your nature. Another person says, I would never cheat on my spouse. It's not even in you. You can never even conceive somebody actually doing that. And others, you have no desire to do that, but you know that if you weren't careful, you could. Another person has a desire for, and so we all, so there are people in this room who would never steal. You just are gas, and you've got it ingrained in your so deeply, you'd never, never steal. But the majority of you, if you all of a sudden, the ATM started spitting out 20s, you'd think for a second, you'd go like this, you'd go. And then you'd think, should I turn this in? I got three options. One, I can turn it in. Two, I can walk away. Three, I can go give it to Pastor Byram. And everybody knows the third one is what you should do. A lot of us, if that happened, we would say, you know, I could take this stuff and not say anything. I could take something dishonestly. You're kind of looking at me like, Pastor, you wouldn't? No. But you have that fallen nature. Some of you are so sweet-spirited, you could never beat anybody up. And some of you just wish you had a good opportunity for certain people. Often thought, if only I had a time machine, I could do that and then go back and it never happened. And you have that in your nature where you could do bad things. Every one of you, though, you might not cross certain lines, but you know, if you're wise, that there's bad desires in you and you'd do some bad things if you had the opportunity. It's in you. And every single one of you has that fallen nature. I have that fallen nature. I have some of my kids are so sweet and innocent, but every once in a while, it comes out they're human. And then some of my kids, it comes out more often. But everybody has a fallen nature. And you might say, well, I'm a really good person because I would never steal and I'd never kill anybody. Okay, that's good. Would you commit adultery? How's your thought life? Would you skip church? Oh, well, Pastor, you offended one point, you offended all. Before you start thinking of yourself as all haughty, if you skip church, you sinned. It's good stuff, preacher. I like that. And I like that. I lost you. I already lost you when I talk about the 20s coming out of the machine. So, but when you decide and you don't pray without ceasing, that's sin. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And you might say, I can't believe somebody actually cheat on them. But you cheated on your test in college. We all have our issues built in where we can do bad things. One guy is totally honest in every single way, but he cannot control his temper, and he says things he shouldn't say to people. And you say, well, that's me, but I'm not a bad person. No, you're a bad person too. We're all bad people. We all have fallen natures. We all can do wrong things if we're not careful. Every one of us. You might be the nice person who lets the little guy in the Honda with a loud muffler who comes on the exit and runs all the way up to the last second to cut you off. You might be a person who says, that's fine, go ahead and go in front of me. I'm not. I go this far from the person in front of me in my nature. I said, I'm not that 18-year-old little brat in. And my car is worse than his. I don't care if he hits me. It doesn't matter to me. But you might not be that way. Everybody has a fallen nature. And you don't want to do the things you shouldn't do. You don't want to think those bitter thoughts about people you think. I don't struggle with bitterness. I just don't. I don't hold grudges. It's not me. But there's a lot of things I do bad, and a lot of things I desire bad. You might, whatever the realm is, you have this nature in you. And it's very important to understand that, because if you do not understand that, you will not defend yourself against yourself. And that's vital. You have to defend yourself against yourself. Paul said that I know that in me and my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And then Paul says about himself, the Apostle Paul writing scripture, the greatest Christian he's probably ever lived, the man who wrote almost half of the New Testament, says, oh, wretched man that I am. And boy, I don't hold anything to the Apostle Paul. And he calls himself a wretched man. Because of this good desire and this bad nature, we have a war inside of us, verse 23 says. It says, but I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind. My bad desire, my flesh is what the Bible calls it, wars against my mind, which says I want to serve God. I don't want to say this. I don't want to lose my temper. I don't want to cuss. But my flesh really wants to. And it's a war. Whatever the area is that your area of battle is, which all of us have. Because of his fallen nature and bad desires, he saw himself as a wretched man. But there is a deliverance. Paul said the problem is, I can't get away from me. I'm the problem. Please understand that. It's not your neighborhood. It's not your upbringing. It's not victimhood of what somebody else did to you. It's not anything else. It's you and me. My worst enemy or my best friend potentially is myself. And he says, who's going to deliver me from me? Is what he asks. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? That the problem is I can't run, because when I get there, I'm still there. I run into myself. I was talking to somebody one time, and they were just, their life was a mess, and just a mess, and just a mess. And it wasn't because they were around the wrong crowd, it's because they made their life a mess. And they said, you know, I'm going to move, and I think that'll fix my problems. I said, you know what? You're going to find yourself there. And they did. They find themselves. So you got to find a way to get yourself and the problem that's in you. You got to find a way to get deliver yourself from yourself. And so the message today is God gives it that way. He calls it denying self. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me through Jesus Christ. He answers the question, who shall deliver me? Verse 25. Verse 24, who shall deliver me from me? Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with my mind I serve the law of God, my flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The deliverance comes through Jesus Christ to those who do not walk after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Your flesh is the enemy. You must destroy it. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, phrase it this way. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to another, so you cannot do the things that you could. If Matthew can come up here for a sec, if I can illustrate it real simply here, is Matthew turned that way. Matthew is the flesh. I'm my mind that wants to serve the law of God. There is a rope between us, and the flesh lusts against the spirit, and if we are pulling against each other, and the spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary. They're opposites. And so what's happening is the flesh is pushing that way again towards sin. I'm pulling this way towards God, and what happens is the flesh is very powerful. It's bigger than me.
Got that right.
And the flesh is bigger than me. So if I have that thing intact, it's going to pull me where I don't want to go. Okay, Matthew, sit down. My flesh has got to be brought under control, and I got to die to my flesh. I got to kill my flesh. And I want to teach you a little bit about that, because that way is not suicide. The way is you deny yourself in the Bible. You cannot do the things that you would. That's got to become a way of life. The key to deny yourself. A couple of verses in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul said, I die daily. How do you die every single day? That's a lot of funerals. He says, I don't physically die. I die to myself. I bring Paul and make Paul die that Christ would live in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It is no longer I, but Christ that lives in me. When I die, Christ now lives through my body. But I've got to deny myself and make myself die, because that self is selfish and bad and is the law of sin. 1 Corinthians 9:27, listen to this. This is a very important verse for the whole sermon. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Did you hear that? I keep under my body and I bring my body into subjection. I say, body, you're going to do this. Somebody told me I'm like tired today. I usually can't tell if I'm tired or not tired, but I got the poofy eyes. This is what I looked like for about 7 years when I was in college. That's because, not because I didn't sleep, but it was because my sleep was interrupted for the last 2 days. The baby, why do babies come at 3 in the morning? And came at 3 in the morning, then came... She went into labor at 3 in the morning, went to the hospital, had it about 2:30 in the morning, and 3 hours later we had the baby. And then last night, of course, I had a baby right next to me in the bed crying. And so I didn't sleep good. And then this morning the alarm went off. Now, you're looking at the person who can get ready faster than anybody in the world. I can get ready. I mean, my hair doesn't take too long. I can get ready fast. I learned in Bible college. I can be in a suit with my tie tied in 3 minutes. That includes brushing my teeth and deodorant occasionally, and I can do that. And boy, I was laying in bed and that alarm went off, and oh my soul, I did not feel like getting up. And there's this wonderful button on that alarm clock called the snooze, which is not a wonderful button. And I reached over and hit it. And I mean, I hit it, and then all of a sudden it went off again. 9 minutes later, I didn't feel anything between. And I hit it again. And I hit it again. And then I said, I got to get up now. I got things to do. I got to get ready for today. And you know what? I had to deny my flesh and roll out of bed. It was a resurrection. I mean, it was hard. My flesh said, stay here all day. Let Brian preach. Brian is supposed to have a message ready for every service. Hallelujah. And let him preach. But I knew he couldn't hold a candle. And but I said, he's not in here. Don't tell him I said that. But I said, I gotta get up and ready. And I had to deny my flesh. But you know what? When your flesh is in control, you only do what you have to do. You know what? You deny your flesh, you get up in the morning when you have to go to work. But you don't have to. You don't deny it. You've got to get to the point where your flesh, you tell your flesh, no, I'm bringing you into subjection. You grab that thing, you beat that thing, you say, you'll obey me, you'll obey me, you'll obey me. And it becomes like a good dog and says, yes, sir. Because otherwise your flesh grabs you like a big monster and drags you and says, you're going to go do this. And you say, I don't want to do that. And he says, I don't care, I'm too strong. But when you bring it into subjection, you tell your flesh what it's going to do, and you bring your body into subjection, it says, I want to do this. And you say, no, back off and let the guy with the Honda in. You back up. because your flesh no longer controls you. I just have to say, that means you're not dead to yourself. I just had to say this. That's because you have not died to your flesh. I couldn't help it. I had to hit him. Well, that's because you're not dead to yourself. Your flesh is ruling. Your flesh is ruling. I just couldn't quit looking at it. It's because your flesh rules. It's your flesh rules. When you cannot deny yourself, that's what happens. Well, look what Paul says. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I bring myself. I die daily. My flesh die. And the Bible says, as we read earlier, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Somebody says, but I want this. I want to listen to this kind of music. So what? You don't do what you want to do. Listen, a Christian's life never comes into the I want. Unless it's spiritually God wants. Doesn't matter what we want. I have a bunch of bad wants. You have a bunch of bad wants. I want this. I want that. You're taught that your whole life. And we indulge children, let them say, I want this. I want this. And we give it to them their whole life so nobody ever learns to deny themselves and delayed gratification and waiting. People go out and fornicate when they're 16, 17, 18 years old because, and by the way, when they're 25 and 30, when they're not married, why? Because they cannot control themselves. They want to. And of course, that's what you want to do. You're a human. And we have that, and we want that, and we want to do that, but some people say, you know what? Just because I want to do that doesn't mean I'm going to do that. I can't do that. That's wrong. But when you have that denied yourself, when the opportunity comes and you're in a situation, you can't stop yourself. Why? Because your flesh is too strong. You have not brought yourself and your flesh into subjection. Paul says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. If any man come up to me, let him deny himself. You've got to go to and get to the point where you die to yourself. You can't do the things you would. The simple sermon is this, very simply, we must not walk after the flesh. Back in Romans chapter 8 in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now listen to this, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The word mortify is it means to put to death. You get the word morgue from there, mortician. It's the same word. It means to put something to death. If you do mortify the deeds of your body, this flesh is what it's talking about, your physical flesh. It has bad desires. You get hit, you want to hit back. You get cursed at, you want to curse back. You're hurt, you want to lash out. Somebody does you wrong, you want to get revenge. You hit your finger with a hammer, you don't want to say praise the Lord. All those things are built in, and so you have this flesh you've got to bring. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We've got to put the flesh to death. And so let me help you understand the whole sermon. It's not a complicated sermon, but you got to understand your nature to understand the sermon. Your nature is fallen, so you've got to make your flesh die. Without physically killing it, you bring it into subjection. So, Paul says, every single day I die to myself. Every single day I bring myself into subjection, my flesh. So it's got to the point where I say, body, you're going to do this. And the body says, I don't want to do that. And you say, I don't care. You're going to do it. And eventually what happens, your flesh dies. All of a sudden, you say, I can't stop eating. And you say, yes, you are. Matter of fact, we're fasting today. And your flesh says, no, I'm not fasting. Look at that bacon burger. And you say, sorry. And you take that bacon burger, and you throw it away. And you say, but it was perfect. Cheese and bacon. It's a perfect food. It's got all four food groups. It's got bread. It's got pickles. It's got lettuce. It's got the vegetables. It's got meat. It's got everything. It's perfect food. And you say, I got to have that thing. No, you're not going to get it. You know, occasionally in my life, I have to be sitting there wanting something terribly, and I get it, and then say, you know what? I can't stop. I can't not do this. I got to get rid of it because my flesh is in control. And I've got to die to myself, and I'm not dead right now. I'm alive, and I cannot stop. because my desire is so strong. I've got to learn to deny myself and bring myself into subjection. I really got to watch this show. I just have to watch it. No, then you're not under control. If anything, you have to do anything, you've got to stop doing it. Paul said an amazing, amazing thing in the verse in 1 Corinthians, I think it was chapter 14. He says, I will not be brought under the power of any. Trying to smoke in, Pastor. Well, one of the problems with it is you can't stop. You're under the power of it. But by the way, that can be pornography, and that can be staring at the internet, and that can be video games. And it can be drugs, and it can be lust, and it can be anger. Anything you're under the power. Paul said, the body for me is the meat for the body, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Doesn't matter if it's wrong. He's talking about meats. There's nothing wrong with meats. But he says, you know what? My brother's offended by meats. I will not eat meat anymore because I'm not under the power of any. If it's going to offend somebody, if God doesn't want me to, I will not be part of their power of any. I will not let anything control me. Anything. When you get to this point where you learn to deny yourself and you realize your flesh is controlling you, all of a sudden you have to do this thing, and all of a sudden you learn to bring your body into subjection. You ready? You no longer say, well, what's wrong with this? All of a sudden, the problem is you ask that question. If you cannot give it up, then it's wrong. I don't care if it's playing checkers. When you cannot control it anymore and cannot deny yourself of something, it is now bondage. And it doesn't matter if it's ice cream. Because you are not in control anymore, your flesh is. And Paul says, I bring my body into subjection all the time. Every single day, I die daily. Every single day. But I like this kind of music. So? And? When did it become a Christian's argument that something's right because they like it?
Come on now.
I like ramming the guy in the Honda. So why is that right? But but these are the friends I like hanging around. And? So? That doesn't mean it's right. There's a lot of people like hanging around some really bad friends who ruin their lives. And it's wrong. Just because you want to do something. But I really love them. So? If you can't control it, listen, Jesus said, if you don't hate your father and sister and mother and brother for my sake, if you're not willing to give up your own family for me, and family is really good and a really high priority of everything in the world, it's higher priority except for God. But if you cannot give up and lose family for Jesus, then your family's too high. And I have a great family and a very close, and he doesn't believe in family, check my family out. Check my family out. We'll compare. We go and realize that anything that becomes too high and exalts itself against the knowledge of God is a bad thing because it's too high and you got to deny yourself. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you can't quit watching TV, if you can't quit eating ice cream, but I got to have it. Then it's wrong. Because your flesh has got to be brought into subjection. You've got to be under control. You've got to tell your body what to do. You've got to say what you're going to say, what you're not going to say. But I just like saying this. It doesn't matter. I want this type of church. It doesn't matter what you want. What kind of church does God want you at? Do you know if you went to a church and it was, and God's will in a church is they sat there in robes and candles and said, om, for 5 hours straight? That's not God's will. But if it was, did you know, it doesn't matter if you don't like that. We don't choose our music in our church by what people want. What a stupid thing. We're going to go to the world's flesh and say, what do you want to hear in music? We're going to go to the brave creatures and ask them what kind of music they want. And we're going to say, we're going to play the kind of music that unsaved people in their flesh like to hear. That's not a real smart idea. We're going to have a program based on what we want in church. We don't run the church the way we want it. It's his church. We ask him what he wants in a church. And he tells me he doesn't want a 10-minute sermon. He wants the word, people to get fed. Right. He tells me, and so what if I don't, Pastor, I don't like sitting there for a 45-minute sermon. I don't like it either sometimes, but it feeds me.
Yeah, come on now, thank you.
It doesn't matter what we want.
That's right.
What we want is insignificant because we usually want the wrong things. We don't want spinach. We want ice cream. There's weird people, but you know, but we have that fallen nature, and we are we got those things, and we got to realize I've got to deny myself. So, you're all with me so far?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now you're not. Now I'm going to lose you again. So, Pastor, how can I die to myself? Well, get up in the morning when you're supposed to get up.
No snooze button.
And you know what? Get up when you're supposed to get up. When should I get up, Pastor? I can get up 5 minutes before work. Well, do you, are you supposed to pray in the morning and read your Bible?
Amen.
Don't get up when you feel like getting up. You know what time I like to get up? When I let myself. I go to bed at 1 in the morning and get up at 10 in the morning. That's my natural clock. It's a terrible schedule. I can't do it. So I don't. And by the way, you say, I just always go to sleep that way. I've worked third shift, second shift, first shift, every shift. You ready? If you get up enough days early in the morning, you will eventually go to bed when you need to. It'll eventually happen. So you get up in the morning, and you find yourself, you just are, the flesh is just dragging you everywhere it wants to. You want to say this, you want to do this, you want to tell this joke, you want to hang around these people, and you do everything you don't want to do. That means your flesh is in control. So you say, I'm going to deny myself today. So you get up in the morning, then every morning you go to Starbucks. And you say, you know what? I'm going to die to my flesh today. I'm not going to Starbucks.
You
want to tell it? Yeah. I'm not going today. And you know what? You say, I've got to do that. It's just my tradition. It's my... Die to yourself. Deny yourself that morning of your Starbucks. You know what's strange? Nothing wrong with Starbucks. Caramel, mocha, no, let's see, a caramel mocha frappuccino or a caramel macchiato, if you want to get me one. And extra hot caramel macchiato. But I like Starbucks. I like all kinds of coffees and all those things. However, but if you go and you and if it's under control and I can't say no to my coffee, then it's done. And I deny myself in that. And I get to work, and you know what? I really don't want to talk to anybody. But guess what? My flesh said, you're not going to talk to anybody. You're going to go and hide in the corner. I was like this the other day. The other day, I'm kind of an introvert, but sometimes I get hyper-hermit introvert. And I was somewhere, and I just wanted to do and disappear into the crowd and let everybody else talk. And I wanted to talk to anybody. I knew I should go talk to some people. And I said, flesh, you aren't going to control me. And I walked up, and then I just said, hi. How you doing, man? Good to see you. And I just went the other way. I said, flesh, you're going to get beat up today. You're going to hate this. Or you're the person who loves to talk to everybody. And, hey, I'm here, everybody. And you got to go and hush. And step back and say, I'm not going to yak and talk at everybody. You know what? I'm going to let everybody else finish their sentences. And I'm going to deny my flesh. It's a strange thing. An introvert says, you know, it's just not the way I am. Okay, then get under control. If you have to, you need to be able to talk to people. What are you going to do? Go to a job interview someday? Hi, are you looking for the job? No. You have to learn to conquer yourself. You got to learn to look at the guy in the eye and say, yes, I like the job. I'm the best employee you ever had. You have to do that sometimes, even when you're an introvert. It doesn't mean you're not an introvert anymore. It just means you denied yourself. And you know what? Sometimes you got to learn to listen to somebody. Somebody is telling you their burdens, and all you want to do is talk about yourself. And you say, you know what? I like talking too much. I'm going to listen for a while. Two ears, one mouth. Must be a reason. But in either case, you're denying yourself. I really don't want to go say hi to so-and-so. They drive me crazy. But can you walk up to him and say, you know what? How you doing today? Good to see you today. And you say, oh, I hated that. You'll walk away and your flesh will say, man, I'm losing control here. And all of a sudden you'll say, man, you know, I don't know why. I just denied myself a coffee this morning and said hi to the guy I hate at work and was friendly to him. You know what? I feel like I read my Bible and pray today. Why? Because the flesh has lost its control over you and now you're free. The big monster is not dragging you around because you denied yourself. And time after time, you do it by fasting, you do it by whatever. You take a cold shower and you want to take a hot shower. You don't have to do it 24/7. It's just every day you got to bring your body into subjection. And sometimes it takes many days when you're used to doing whatever you want to do. I want to watch this. I want to listen to this. I want to do this. I want to say this. And you've not denied yourself for a long time. Then it's time you got to start fighting your flesh. And your flesh is going to fight you every step of the way. And your own nature is going to say, I don't like this. You introverts just hated me when I said go up and be friendly and talk to everybody. And you coffee drinkers just said, oh, come on. And those like to talk said, oh, pastor. And you know why? Because I've had to do all these things. And sometimes I am so in a mood for cookie and milk. Why do they even make cookies without milk? Just what it's supposed to be. Either leave it in the dough form or give it with milk. That's what it's made for. And then I say, you know what? I can eat 25 of those. But my flesh is not under control. And you know what? No thanks, honey. And then I know my kids are going to eat them all. But I got to deny myself. If you cannot give it up right now, you do not need to know if it's wrong. It is. A great way to check out if you are, to see if you're there. First of all, to find out if you are dead to yourself, if you denied yourself, if your flesh is ruling. One, can you give anything up right now for God? If not, then it's wrong. You say, Pastor, what's wrong with my coffee in the morning? Nothing at all, unless you can't give it up. And don't, by the way, don't play yourself a trick in your mind. Oh, I could if I wanted to. Good, want to for about a week. And we'll find out if you could if you wanted to. Next, do you regularly deny yourself when you don't have to? There's things you have to deny yourself. You have to go to work sometimes when you don't feel like it. But that's not the same as denying yourself because you want to get paid. You're still doing what you want to do. You don't want to get fired. That's what you want to do. You just don't want to get fired more than you don't want to go to work. But when you do what you don't have to do, you deny yourself and you don't have to. When you deny yourself and get your flesh under control, you don't say, I don't want to go to church tonight. That has no bearing. You say, I don't want to go to church tonight. I better. God wants me to go. You say, you know what? I don't want to read a Bible today, but I better. I don't feel comfortable around so-and-so. And they're at church. That's okay. That's okay. Probably somebody else doesn't feel comfortable around you. You know what? It's okay. You got to do what you don't want to do in life sometimes. You got to get up. You got to do the things you want to do. I don't want to apply for that job. I don't want to talk to that person. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do a Bible. I don't want to stop eating. I don't want to exercise. You know what? If I didn't want to exercise, I'd make myself exercise. Occasionally, to die to myself. I would deny myself all the time. Because every day you got to bring that body and say, no, Mr. Monster body that always does what you want to do and says you got to do that. You're no longer going to say you have to do this. I'm no longer going to say, no, I want to do this, but I can't stop. I'm going to deny myself. And once you bring your flesh under control and bring it into subjection and die to yourself and deny yourself and do what you ought to do, the flesh gets very weak and it gets very anorexic and it gets very weak and withery. It's still there. It'll never go away. But now it's weak and beaten down and sickly and weak, and you can drag it wherever you need to. But until you learn to say, I'm going to do what I don't want to do, you will continue your life saying, oh, wretched man that I am, I want to do this, but I can't do this. And I always do what I don't want to do because I want to serve God and I want to change this, but I always do this and it just drags me over there. It's one simple reason. Your flesh is in control. You got to deny yourself. It's time to start denying yourself. It's time to start denying yourself. And self-control is ridiculously out of style, out of everywhere, but it's time you do what you should do instead of what you want to do. And denying yourself in little ways will eventually to make it so your flesh is used to being denied and gets weak and doesn't have control. And you know what? That's why some people with great discipline in life who made themselves go into the military, they went through heavy training or they went through intense education or something, all of a sudden they go into Christian life, they learn to deny themselves, and it's a little easier to become a Christian than someone who grew up always doing what they wanted to do. Not because they have more potential, not because they're smarter or better. It's just they learn how to deny themselves of what they wanted to do. Yes. And you've got to learn to deny yourself. And very simply, I'll finish up with this. If you do deny yourself, there's a victorious Romans 8 to those who mortify the flesh, put it to death. There is there no now therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. It says this. It says, "For if ye live after the Spirit, ye shall; or if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And if, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors to Him that loved us." Romans 8 is all victory, 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 victory. After Romans 7 of, boy, I am so messed up. Why? Because if you learn to walk in the Spirit and follow the Holy Spirit's leading and not the flesh's leading, you get to enter into the victorious, wonderful Christian life in Jesus Christ when you deny yourself. When you deny yourself, you're free to serve God, and the Spirit fills your life, and life is a joy. But the flesh usually leads you to where you regret it. Let's pray. Father, I pray we'd be people who deny ourselves. Father, help us to walk in the Spirit. Help us deny ourselves and realize our fallen nature. And I pray today, Lord, first of all, that if anybody doesn't know you as Savior, I pray they'd know you as Savior. Secondly, Lord, if somebody is saved and isn't denying themselves, I pray today they begin to deny themselves in whatever way that is. Lord, please help us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. First of all, you say,